Please turn with me to the book of Acts. I shall be reading chapter 8, verses 1 to 13 and 26 to 40. Verse 1. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in the city. But there was a man named Simon, who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south of the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he arose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about somebody else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of God.
We thank God for the reading of His Word. Let us pray as we listen to His message. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word, the Word that gives life, that convicts our hearts, Lord. And now, Lord, as we listen to the interpretation of Your Word, Spirit of the living God, we ask that, Lord, that these words that we hear don't just stay in our mind, but also in our hearts, Lord, and affect our wills, Lord. So speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, have you ever had something wonderful happen to you? Have you ever had something wonderful happen to you and you can't wait to share with someone, whether it's your family or your friends? Have you ever had that experience? Perhaps it was the time you received very good results from your exams. You can't wait to share with people around you. Maybe you just came back from a wonderful holiday and you want to share that experience with people. Or you had the job that you always wanted, or the promotion that you desire, you wish that somebody can feel your joy, and you want to share with that person. Now, parents, I believe we all have felt this way before, and that is the day that our child was born. We were so excited, we want to tell the world about it. And in moments like this, while we WhatsApp, we post pictures, we want to tell the world about this good news that we have experienced. We want others to also feel or experience the joy, if possible. Now, I believe that we all have experienced something wonderful when we receive Jesus into our lives. Just now, as I was listening to or singing the songs that we sung just now, it reminds us of God's love. That's something that we have experienced. It tells us of God's forgiveness in our life. We have been set free. No more guilt. We can come before a holy God. Perhaps knowing Jesus has guided us in the right path and made us who we are today. Not that we are perfect, but if we think that we, what happens if we have not followed Jesus? Maybe some of us have experienced the Lord providing a miracle in our lives. And I believe that knowing the Lord has transformed our character, has given us strength in difficult times, overcome the storms in life. I think we all can agree that knowing Jesus has given us meaning, purpose, and hope, not just in this life, but in the life to come. We are assured of eternal life after we die. Now, the question is, are we excited to tell people about all these wonderful benefits of trusting Jesus? Are we excited to tell them that you have a God that loves you, that God can forgive you, that God can change your life and your circumstances, that you can experience eternal life with God? What is the condition of our hearts today? Are you cold? You know, yeah, the joy has gone. Keep it to yourself, keep it to myself. Or having experienced the wonderful thing that God has done in our life, do we want to share with people around us so that they too can experience the joy of knowing Jesus? Perhaps some of us are not very comfortable about it. Maybe we have experienced a setback before. You know, we tried to share and then didn't have a very good experience out of it. Or perhaps we have our fears and our reservations about sharing the good news to someone that terrifies us. Or maybe, just maybe, we are not convicted as much as we like to be. Why should we even share the good news to people? Our text today tells us why we should share the gospel, even if we are not comfortable about sharing it to people. And that is because, if you look into our text, God can transform life. God can bring great joy to people. And that alone should motivate us to share the gospel, even though we are not comfortable with it. We look at verses 1 and 4, we see how God used a very uncomfortable situation to propel his people out to share the gospel. Now, what has happened in Acts, especially when we come to chapter 8? Now, last week, we heard about Stephen's persecution and his death. Stephen is said to be the first Christian martyr, one who suffers and dies for his faith. And we are told that right after his death, Saul was instigating a persecution against the early Christians. And he was creating a great havoc. Look at what he's doing. He's going house to house, pulling out men and women, put them into prison. So this is the situation that has happened in the early church. A very uncomfortable situation. The people of God are being persecuted. And we cannot imagine the difficult time that they are going through. They probably had to run for their lives. However, if the intent of the persecution is to stop the church from growing and to stop the spreading of the good news of Jesus Christ, it backfired totally. Because Luke, the biblical author, tells us this. Now, those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Now, this short one little sentence captures the attitude and the behavior of the early Christians, even in a very uncomfortable situation. The church is facing a tragedy. People were going after their life. They were still grieving over the loss of their beloved deacon, Stephen. And verse 2 tells us there is a great lamentation that is happening because they lost one of their church leaders. And they are in the midst of losing their homes and their livelihood because they have to run. But what were they doing in the midst of the persecution? In verse 4, it tells us that they were scattered, yes, but they were preaching the word. They became the seeds of the gospel, scattered in new places, but planting the gospel as they move along, telling people about Jesus Christ. Now, this is a very powerful testimony of our early brothers and sisters in Christ. And they show us that God can use our uncomfortable situations to reach people for him. But how were they able to share this good news when things were not going well in their life? Now, if you look at it earlier, the Lord Jesus has already promised them about his Holy Spirit that will empower them. You will receive power, and you will go and be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, not just Jerusalem, you will go out of Jerusalem. And that's what's happening here. They will go to Judea, they will go to Samaria, and to the end of the world. And today's passage tells us that God is fulfilling this movement. And so, even in situations that we think we cannot share, the Lord has already made his promise, I will give you my spirit who will empower you to do that. And we observe that the early church did not let their circumstances determine their response, whether or not I should share the gospel. The uncomfortable situation did not stop them from sharing the message of Jesus Christ. Empowered by the Spirit, they took the command that the Lord has given them seriously and go tell the good news. Now, we may not be facing a major persecution in our lives today. We thank God for that. But are you in an uncomfortable situation today? Perhaps our life is not that as well as we want to. Maybe there's a restructuring at the workplace. Things are going nowhere. Perhaps we are in a situation that, you know, everything is like out of control. But like the early Christians, God can use the situation that we are in to reach out to someone. It need not be perfect for us to reach out to somebody. And he can help us to help others know about him when we reach out to them. We also heard that last week how God can use our sufferings to minister to somebody. He certainly can use our testimonies of our failures, our brokenness, the loss that we went through, the times that we have been hurt to minister to someone. And so when we are tempted to complain about our situation, perhaps it's time to ask God, God, is there someone that you want me to reach out to? If you look at verse 5, we see how God brings joy and transformation when his people rise above the occasion and their situations and share the gospel. And that is something that we see in Philip's example. We see how the Holy Spirit uses Philip to bring joy to a city, a very unlikely city, and to a very unlikely individual, and in a very unlikely situation. You see how the power of the Lord is moving. First, the unlikely city, Samaria. In verses 4 and to 8, it tells us that in the midst of the persecution, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the message about Jesus Christ. Now, if you were a God-fearing Jew, when you listen to the word Samaria, it should raise alarm to you. Samaria? God is doing something in Samaria? Why would Philip, of all places, go to Samaria? Not only they are of a different city, they are of a different race. And Jews and Samaritans do not gum. They are always in conflict, in animosity. History tells us that they cannot get along. It's like oil and water cannot mix. The bad blood between them lasts since the Old Testament. A faithful Jew will despise the Samaritans for being unfaithful to God. The Samaritans are like half Jews, and they have intermarried with Israel's enemies who occupied their land during the exile in the Old Testament. So they live in a separate city. A Jew will not cut through the city of Samaria. If it means to take one big round, we will do that. We just have nothing to do with these half-breeds. And so, but here it tells us that Philip went to the city of Samaria. And it's very surprising that the Holy Spirit is leading Philip to this city. And it tells us that the direction and the spread of the gospel The telling of the good news of Jesus Christ is not limited to just people we like or people that we are comfortable with. It includes everyone, even the race or the people that we are not comfortable with. The people that we think are less likely to believe. And Philip's obedience to this unlikely group shows us that the Holy Spirit can do powerful things if we obey. Look at the response of the Samaritan to the Jewish preacher. It's very powerful. It's captured to us in verse 6. The crowds with one accord paid attention to what is being said by Philip. Instead of throwing stones, who do you think you are, Jew, come and tell us, Samaritans? They paid attention as one in one accord. What does it tell us? The people that we think are unlikely to believe, they are hungry for God. The Samaritans, although they have all the animosity, they too want to hear God. They are of one heart and one mind to listen to the message of the gospel. They earnestly want to hear what God is saying. So outwardly, people may show their animosity. They may show that, you know, hey, don't come and bother me. But inside, people are hungry for the gospel. And in verses 6 to 8, the Holy Spirit worked powerfully through the obedience of Philip. Look at what happened. In verses 6 to 8, the demon possessed are set free. The paralyzed and the lame were healed. Lives are transformed because one man listened and obeyed God. There's another very powerful verse, what happened to the city. In verse 8 is captured for us. There was so much joy in the city. So much joy. The gospel, knowing Jesus, transformed their life and brought so much joy to the city. That is what the gospel does. It brings joy to people. I've yet to seen or heard anyone who received Christ and they are very sad. It brings joy, an unspeakable joy, the peace with God, the forgiveness of sin, to know that God loves me, and then to live and to see the transformation that God has done in my life. How can that bring sadness to people? Why would not we want to share this joy with people? If we really want people to experience the joy that only God can bring and the world cannot give, share the gospel. Share the joy that only heaven can give. An unlikely city. But the gospel also reached to an unlikely individual. And that is something we see in verse 13. Even Simon believed. Who is this Simon that his conversion was specially mentioned here? Who is this person? The passage tells us that this Simon is someone who practiced magic. He has a great following. He can influence people. We're not sure what kind of magic does this person does, but quite likely he's like a sorcerer, or in our modern day context, like a temple medium. Now, even the gospel can transform his life, and he too came to believe and was baptized. But we will see in verses 14 to 24, which we didn't read, that Simon had to learn a very important lesson. As a new believer, he thought he could buy God's power. He wants the Holy Spirit. He thought he could purchase it by money. But then Peter, the apostle, had to give him a very stern rebuke and question his motives of using money to buy the Holy Spirit. He had to correct his motives. The point is this: no amount of money can buy God's grace. No works that we do can make God accept us. We have to come by grace and repentance. But what is amazing here is that the Holy Spirit can work in the most unlikely people we can imagine. Even Simon, a person who practices occult or sorcery, can come to know the Lord. And we cannot limit what God can do. I came across a testimony by an ex-temple medium. And he also wrote a book called Confession of an Ex-Medium. Winston Liao, he works as a temple medium for most part of his life. You can Google and look at his testimony at YouTube. And one day he was hospitalized because of a sudden health issue. He was at the brink of death, and according to his testimony, he literally died. And he saw himself transported into hell. He had this vision. And he was being tormented by the fires. He was in great desperation. He called out all the deities that he has followed or who has been his master. But none of them could save him. And then he remembered one name. Out of desperation, he called the name of Jesus Christ. This name stuck with him because in his school days, he had gone to a Christian mission school. So he knows this name. And immediately when he calls that name, the fire subsided. And in his vision, he was brought up to heaven, but a voice stopped him from entering. And the voice said to him, "Vincent, you are not able to enter. You still have a mission to do." And he was called to share the gospel and share his testimony to people around him. And he wrote a book about his experience. And today, this ex-temple medium is a Christian evangelist sharing his testimony, leading people to Christ. The most unlikely people we think cannot come to Christ, don't dismiss. The power of the Holy Spirit can work in their lives if we were to obey the Lord and share his message. So what have we learned so far? The Spirit of God has the power to transform lives, including those that we think are unlikely. You know, subconsciously or consciously, we may choose to say, this person cannot, I don't. We already boxed the person. Do not touch. We made up our minds for other people. The unlikely people could be that bully in school, that difficult colleague, or that family member who has rejected you. Or maybe a past experience that made us conclude that don't even try. But we see in the example of the early church and Philip, that when they are obedient to just go and tell, God can do a miracle. God can do a wonderful thing. He can change hearts and transform life. What have we heard so far? We hear the early church, they are being persecuted. They are in a very uncomfortable situation. But as they were scattered, they planted the seeds of the gospel. And as they proclaim the good news, God used them to bring joy and transform the lives in the city and individual. Simon the magician, or Vincent Liao's testimony, shows us that God can do powerful things when we obey. Now, if we look down in verses 25 to 40, there is another individual that is, we think, it's unlikely, at least in the New Testament context, but God used him to impact a stranger, and that is the Ethiopian eunuch. And that is something that the angel told Philip, rise and go towards south. I thought it's very interesting that the author tells us, and he seems to want to emphasize, now this is a desert place. When you think of a desert, what comes to your mind? Hot. I don't want to be there. Nobody will be there anyway. Who in the right mind will be in the desert? A very unlikely situation. And if I were Philip, I would probably protest. Philip, by this time, were probably at Jerusalem. Gaza? You know how far is Gaza? No MRT, no bus. 80 kilometers. And this is a desert road. Lord, are you sure or not? I have to walk for a few days in the hot desert road in an unlikely pale place and do not know who am I going to meet. What kind of divine appointment is this? But what was Philip's response in verse 27? Very simple. He rose and he went. The Lord has spoken, I will go. If the Lord has laid this upon my heart, I go. And true enough, as Philip obeyed with a sense of urgency, the Holy Spirit led Philip to a utopian eunuch. When you think of utopia, you think African. So now there's this Jew that is going to reach out to this African, a Gentile, someone of not his race, someone with a different custom, a cultural practice, probably a different, not probably, definitely a different skin color. Unlikely person, a Jew, reaching out to an unlikely individual, an African, in an unlikely place, a desert. But the bridge was this. The eunuch was hungry to know God. He was reading the book of Isaiah and couldn't comprehend who the person that this passage in Isaiah is talking about. And it's in verses 32 to 33. And in these verses, Isaiah had prophesied since the Old Testament time, even before Jesus come, who God's Savior will be like. He will be a suffering servant. He will be like a sheep led to a slaughter. In other words, he will suffer for his people. And we know that today this prophecy points to Jesus Christ. For the eunuch, he did not know who this person is. And he's hungry, he wants someone to teach him. And Philip helped him to understand the passage that he was reading referred to Jesus Christ. He is the one who has suffered unjustly for us. He is the one that was led like a sheep as a sacrifice for our sin. And the eunuch was so moved by the gospel message, he asked, what are we waiting for? What is preventing me from being baptized? Immediately, he was baptized. Now, as I was meditating on this meeting of Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch, two things stood out to me. God never gives up on anyone. Unlikely individuals, he never gives up on them. In an unlikely situation, no. You know, for God to ask Philip to go to a desert place and to meet this individual, it tells how important this individual is to him, even though it is far and unlikely. I imagine myself as Philip. You know, it takes a lot of hard work, you know. I mean, a lot of faith and travel, 3 days walking. But I would have rejoiced knowing that I'm God's part of God's plan for this man's salvation. And a greater joy when I know this. Pastor Varon shared with me a link, and I did a Google search on the country of Ethiopia. I was very surprised to learn that Ethiopia today is one of the oldest Christian nations in the world. Today, it's predominantly a Christian country. It's made up of many branches of Christianity. 60% of the population is made up of Christians, different branches, types of Christians. And I was reading an article, and it highlights this, that the eunuch in Acts chapter 8 was the one who introduced, was one of the first one who introduced Christianity to his country. Of course, there are other things that happened after that. And today, Ethiopia is one of the largest Christian African nation in the continent of Africa. Philip wouldn't know the impact that he made. All he did was to obey. Likewise, we would not know the impact we can make when we share the gospel. God can transform not just one life, but many lives, a city, a country, if we are faithful. What is the Lord speaking to us today? What does he call us to apply? I believe the message is simple. You've been hearing it not the first time, but in our series in Acts. God is calling us to partner with him to share this wonderful message. The only message that can bring great joy and transform life. There is no other message than this. So don't keep the message with ourselves. Share it. He can turn cities of unbelievers to him. He can transform magicians and sorcerers to him, to follow him. He can bring a government official to transform his nation. That is what the Holy Spirit can do. Nothing is impossible for God, even persecutions. And if people around us is going to experience this joy, then the message lies with us. We need to be seeds that are willing to be scattered to plant the gospel. We need to be willing to share the good news of Jesus Christ. There are some things that are happening in church that we can participate or wherever the Lord places you, at your workplace, at your families, at your communities. But there are some things that are happening in our church. This coming week, we are having the BBGB recruits camp, and it's very encouraging to hear that our young adults in particular have responded to be befrienders. This is a wonderful opportunity. A great impact that you can make. I know that because I received Christ when I was 13 years old in such a camp. Adults, we too have a part to play. The message has been sent to my CG and Lester's and Eric's CG. We are hosting the Grace Feast. The Sec 1 parents are coming. The total crowd we are expecting is about 130, 140. It's probably the first time that a non-Christian parent is entering into a Christian school and getting in contact with Christians, getting to know the church, and from past years' experience, the parents are just very encouraged to see so many adults are concerned for their kids. That alone, our presence alone, is a great encouragement to them. So come, even though if it's a Sunday afternoon, just be there. And I'm sure the invitation can be open to other than these two CG. So let's move out of our comfort zone and befriend our guests. We have another opportunity in 2 weeks' time. Reverend Jackson is preaching It's our Evangelistic Sunday. The title of the message is The Beautiful Painter of the Sky, something along the line of creation. And we can use this opportunity to invite our family and friends. Will you move? Will you be the scattered seeds to invite them? I asked at the beginning of the sermon if you and I have experienced something wonderful that has happened to us. And we see in our passage today that we have something wonderful that we have experienced. And that is the good news of Jesus Christ. It can bring great joy. It can transform life. So let us move out of our comfort zone. Share the gospel, because that brings joy and transform life. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, I ask and pray for each and every one of us, brothers and sisters, that, Lord, you reignite in us the joy of knowing you, Lord, the experiences that we have with you, Lord. Give us also, Lord, this passion, and if not this obedience to your word, to go tell this message to people around us. Help us, Lord, not to be too comfortable with ourselves. And even in uncomfortable situations, Lord, to trust that you have already empowered us to share your word, so that many lives around us will come to know you, Lord. We ask this and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.